This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Raji'un, his name is Shahid Sayyid. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a place in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the journey of the Akhirah an easy one for him. May Allah enlighten his grave. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a place in Jannah for those al-A'la. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Number two is Brother Arshad Hussain is requesting dua for his mother. She fell down and she broke her hip bone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything easy for her. أذهب البأس رب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما نسأل الله العظيم وبالعرش العظيم أن يشفيهم. And lastly, there is a request for dua for a 24-year-old. Her name is Maisha Sadiq. She's on life support, so please keep hearing your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything easy for them, for the family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her shifa. أذهب البأس رب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. And also just right now, right before I walked in, a brother just told me that his uncle passed away overseas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this brother, he had asked me to keep him anonymous, not to mention his name. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this brother's uncle a place in Jannah. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him for his shortcomings. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as he has gathered us here today on this day of Jum'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannat Firdaus al-A'la in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a prophet, there was much ignorance in society. As Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was standing in front of the Najashi, and Najashi asked him that what is this Islam that you follow? He explained it very perfectly. I'm just going to simply paraphrase it because of time. But he made the point that before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, we were ignorant. We used to worship stones. We used to worship rocks. We used to fight over small issues. And there'll be much bloodshed over petty matters. Along with that, there was no rights for people in the community. There were no rights for people in society. We had no purpose of life. And then came Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who taught us that there is something called a purpose of life, who taught us the oneness of Allah, who taught us great habits, great morals, akhlaq and adab. This is what Ja'far radiallahu anhu is saying in front of the Najashi. And this is indeed exactly what the mission was of the Prophet ﷺ. How much ignorance there was before and how much light Rasulullah ﷺ he brought to the entire Muslim community. He brought the Quran, he brought his ahadith, he taught them his sunnahs. And subhanAllah, history has shown us anyone, any nation, any community that has applied the teachings of the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, those communities, those societies have thrived. We see the times of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum when they were governors. When we study Islamic history and the Islamic empire, when you had Muslim rulers and how much peace there was in the community and in the society. But brothers and sisters, is always a common theme with history that people will always forget their purpose of life. People will always resort to jahiliya practices. And when we talk about and when we reflect our own current situation as of today, there are many jahiliya practices that we are practicing within our own families, within our own society, within our own circles, within our own community. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He reminds us of those jahiliya practices. He's telling us that these are the places where many times you can easily resort to jahiliya. Though you may know, but you don't understand that what is the impact of applying those jahiliya practices. So today inshallah in this khutbah, I want to share with you four places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He highlights those jahiliya practices. And hopefully from this khutbah, you can ask yourself one simple question after this khutbah, that am I practicing any of those jahiliya practices? Because jahiliya comes from the word jahal. Jahal does not only mean that you don't know. Because one is that a person does not know something, but one is a person does not apply their intellect. And this is why, by the way, if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how often does He say in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. Is this not a reminder for those who are the intellect? Those who have the ability and the faculty to think? Why aren't they using this brain of theirs? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah is telling us, reflect, think, apply critical thinking whenever you're doing anything. This is when we don't apply critical thinking, when we know what is right and we know what is wrong, and yet we still do the wrong things. This applies to our jahiliyyah. So once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are four places in the Quran that I want to go through in this khutbah that talk about those four jahiliyyah practices. The first one is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran. This is a situation where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the battle of Uhud. As we all know that in the battle of Uhud, the Muslims, they suffered, as well as the non-Muslims, the Quraysh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam posted 50 archers, that if you go till today to the place and the venue of Uhud, you will see a small hill right in front of Mount Uhud. And there the Prophet alayhi wa sallam posted 50 archers that make sure that no one is able to get to us, but you shoot them down. So what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did was that they had special instructions. So when they saw that perhaps the battle is over, the Quraysh have fled back, they came down from their position. As a result, Khalid bin Walid saw an opening, an opportunity, and he took advantage of that opportunity, which caused immense amount of suffer to the Muslim community, to the Muslim army. Hamza radiallahu anhu lost his life in that process. Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu lost his life in that process. And along with them, 68 other Sahaba lost their life in this process. Not only that, but there was a point also where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to retreat very momentarily, very briefly. Why? Because the helmet that he was wearing, there were pieces of that helmet that were lodged in his jaws. And he was bleeding profusely. So the Sahaba had to take him away. During that time, there was a rumor that had spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died. And perhaps many of the Sahaba lost their morale. They lost their confidence in that battle. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is telling the Muslims at that time that at this particular time, you have to understand that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has even passed away, you don't worship Muhammad, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means that you don't put your tawakkul in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you put your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like every other prophet, he is a human being, he came into this dunya, and he left and he passed away. So the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا يَغْشَى طَائِفَةً مِّنْكُمْ وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. You had the assumption of jahiliyyah, this ignorant and this ignorant approach when it came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is telling the Muslims that if you are going to resort to jahiliyyah at this point, that means that you're losing your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep your trust in Allah. And this was a lesson to the believers and a lesson to us also. The lesson to be learned from this is, a jahil person says that no matter what the situation is, I will lose my hope in Allah. Because these people who went into the battle of Uhud, by the way, they're thinking to themselves, and especially as we all know from Islamic history, there were many munafiqeen traveling to Uhud with the Prophet ﷺ, but many of them under the leadership of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, they returned back to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ, it had already affected the army of the Prophet ﷺ, but there were still some people with very weak faith who stayed with the Prophet ﷺ. Now they are thinking to themselves that we could have been sitting in Medina right now very comfortably, but we chose to walk with the Prophet ﷺ, and now we are in this kind of situation where we have no idea where our commander-in-chief is. So this is where they began to lose their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what happens when, a lot of times when people say, I'm going to apply religion in my life because that is the right thing to do. But you know when you turn back in life and you say, man, I did so much. I gave up such and such for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, look at where I am today. Whereas that person of mine, that friend of mine, he gave up deen, he gave up religion, he has no respect for Islam, and today look at where he is in life. When you turn back in life and you say that I did something for Allah, and now you are regretting that you stayed with Allah and His Prophet ﷺ, that's known as ظن الجاهلية. There should never be a situation in our life, brothers and sisters, where number one, we lose our trust in Allah. No matter what the situation is, you know when you say believe in something, that means that you have to wholeheartedly believe in Allah's plans. We see the situation outside, what is happening to the Muslims. But we say at the end of the day to ourselves, that I put my trust in Allah, that whatever is happening to the Muslims, we have no idea what is taking place. Politics is all over the place. Yes, many of us are celebrating what happened in Syria, but at the same time, really, in reality, what is happening? What is the grand agenda behind all this? We don't know. But at the end of the day, we do know that I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can make a plan, but Allah ultimately is the plan maker. So I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never in a situation should we ever look back and said, I did the right thing for Allah's sake, and now today I'm suffering because of that. That is a form of jahiliyyah. That shows that you have no trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we stay away from that. The second place where jahiliyyah is mentioned in the Quran is related to laws and divine laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to try to quickly get through this. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Are they looking for the judgment of the jahiliyyah? Meaning that if you study this ayah, this is Surah Al-Ma'idah, right before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Jewish community in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What were they doing in essence? They were fatwa shopping. Whenever it was to their advantage, they would apply the teachings of the Torah. Whenever it did not apply to them or it was not in their best interest, they would abandon the teachings of the Torah. Very similar to how we do things today, unfortunately, that we apply our deen when it is very convenient for us, and we abandon our deen when it is against our interest. You know how many times I've had people come to my office? How many people have so many times people come into my office? And you find women and men, and the men are telling me that the wife is using verses of the Quran to justify her position, whereas she is actually wrong. And we find also women coming saying that my husband is saying this and that, and he's using this verse of the Quran and that verse of the Quran, but then he hits me, and he does not provide me financial support. Whereas that is the man's primary responsibility in any marriage. So you see, it's so common, we use the Quran for our own personal interest, but when the Quran is against us, khalas, we put the Quran aside. This is no different than what the community or the Jewish community did in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. When they wanted, there was a situation where they came to the Prophet ﷺ, and there was a rule amongst the Jewish community that if you kill a man from this particular tribe, then this particular tribe has a right to come back to the other tribe who are the aggressors, and they are allowed to take more from them. It was not even, it was not equal. They came to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ made it very clear, eye for an eye, ear for an ear, life for a life. And they said that, you know what? Islam makes so much sense. What a perfect system. The Prophet ﷺ is a great leader. These are the Jewish community members. But then on the other hand, there was another case that they said, let's bring it to the Prophet ﷺ. And this is where you have a married man and a married woman committing zina. And we know the had in our deen about this. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is our laws about this. And they're like, what kind of a law is this? This makes no sense. Islam makes no sense. We're going to do whatever we want to do. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, he called a very learned man from that Jewish community, and he said that, call this person. He's a man that you have a great deal of respect for. Bring this person. When this person was brought, the Prophet ﷺ asked him the same question. What would you do if you were asked this question? And the man said, I will give the same verdict as you did, Ya Rasulullah. And now the Jewish community are telling this Jewish man, you have no idea what you're talking about. Just like today, how many of us, we go to a sheikh and we listen to them over and over again. But the minute the sheikh gives a fatwa that is against us, this sheikh knows nothing. This sheikh is just, he doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. This fatwa shopping was a practice of the jahiliyyah. Brothers and sisters, part of being a Muslim is that we have to obey. We cannot just cherry pick from the Quran, from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Our deen is not like a buffet. You take this and you take that, you leave this, you leave that. When Allah says, "Udkhulu fi silmi kafa," you enter Islam completely. You don't get to cherry pick in the religion. And if you cherry pick in your religion, that means that there is jahiliyyah practices and you have jahiliyyah reminiscences inside of you. The third thing that we find in the Quran, the third time where jahiliyyah is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about women before Islam. Women did not have any rights. Not only that, but women would go outside, adorn themselves. Why? Simply to gain attention. And this is where women were abused in the community. Women were abused in society. Just like we see today. There are so many stories, so many videos we have seen, demonstrations and experiments on TikTok, on Instagram, where you have a woman completely, you know, she's dressed in a very modern way. Her body is very much exposed, and she walks down the road, and everyone is calling her names. Everyone's trying to get her attention. Versus a woman who is in hijab, and how people respect her. Yet today, we think that it is freedom to expose ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجَنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Allah refers to this as one of the very first types of jahiliyyah practices, of exposing yourself over and over again. And though this is a verse of the Quran that applies, that is addressed to the women, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the best role model for all the women of eternity, for the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we see these kind of verses, these verses have application for our Muslim sisters. But overall, on a grand scheme of things, this is teaching us haya and modesty. And this applies even to men also. The way many times you see men dressing, it is not appropriate. So the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when women were dressed like this, and you see once again, going back to what I said earlier, jahiliyyah, what is a jahil? What does it mean to be a jahil? One is that you don't know, but one is that you don't think. Meaning that a woman or a man that does not dress in a modest way, you're not thinking what impact this has on other people. So when you dress in this way, in a very provocative way, when a woman goes out and she's not dressed according to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that as a jahil practice. And this is something that we see very, very common. Why do women dress like this way? Why do men dress in ways that are not appropriate? Why? Because often it is about, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this, I'm being very dead honest when I say this. It is always about seeking attention. You want people to look at you over and over again. That is why we dress in this way. How about we try to understand that if I'm dressing in a way that is not pleasing to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I need to stay away from that. Because whose attention do I want? Do I want the people's attention? Or do I want Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attention? If it is me, I would rather want Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attention any day of the week. I don't care about people, because people are going to come and go. what makes people think today, what people like today, they dislike tomorrow. People are always going to change. But Allah and His Prophet ﷺ and their standards never ever change. So this is why the third type of jahiliyyah that is mentioned in the Quran is regarding those people who dress in a way that goes against the laws of haya and modesty. And the fourth thing, that the fourth type of jahiliyyah that is mentioned in Surah Al-Fath. This, let me give you the background first so you understand. When the Muslims, along with the Prophet ﷺ went to Mecca to perform Umrah, the Prophet ﷺ saw a dream. It is considered as a wahi. They went to Mecca to perform Umrah. Of course, we all know the Prophet ﷺ was not able to perform Umrah, and the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place. What was this treaty in Hudaybiyah? What was it based on? Why did the Quraysh not allow Rasulullah ﷺ to come into Mecca and perform Umrah? It was all based on hate from before. They brought their emotions, because once again, you're talking about the Quraysh. The Quraysh, who were the aggressors against the Muslims, they were in a position of control and power. Now that the Muslims have gone to Medina, they have settled, they have established themselves. You cannot see someone that you were an aggressor towards. If you had control over someone and now they have become empowered, it eats you inside as a powerful person. Likewise, for these Quraysh people, they could not digest the fact that the Muslims were becoming a very strong and established community. So now when they came, all that they did was they said no based on what? For no reason. Because even at that time, the law was and the rule was, you cannot stop someone from coming inside Mecca and performing Umrah. You cannot. But they stopped them simply because of tribalism, because of hate. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِذْ جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْحَمِيَّةَ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about this in the Quran, that this kind of rejection, this kind of arrogance, this kind of pride, it needs to be swept away. Our hearts have to be cleaned of this. And if there's any tribalism, any racism that does exist within our heart, it has to be washed away. Once again, brothers and sisters, what makes our community, our society, the Muslim Ummah, what makes us unique? That we all say La ilaha illallah. And no matter what our background is, we all are brothers and we all are sisters. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, ليس منا من دعا إلى عصبية وليس منا من قاتل على عصبية وليس منا من مات على عصبية. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, He is not from amongst us who calls for tribalism or who calls towards racism, He is not from amongst us who fights for tribalism, and the person is not from amongst us who dies on this cause. So this is why, brothers and sisters, we see that the Quraysh did this, and though Rasulullah ﷺ was forced to sign into an agreement and agree to an agreement, but it turned out later on that this was a victory for the Muslims. But the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He highlights these four types of jahiliyyah practices that were very relevant at that time amongst the ignorant communities. Unfortunately today, brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to be negative, but the reality is in front of us. These type of four jahiliyyah practices, they exist today within us too. Why do you think that Allah mentioned these stories in the Quran? So that we can just read them as a bedtime story? No. It's so that we can go back to these verses and understand and see the Quran as a mirror. Am I this person who's applying and who has these jahiliyyah ignorant practices in my life or not? That is why these stories are mentioned in the Quran. This is why these verses are mentioned in the Quran. So you and I, we can take a stock of ourselves. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keeps us away from being considered amongst the jahilun. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our deeds and actions in line with what is in the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fi Qur'an azim wa nafa'ana wa iyyakum bi dhikri al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So just to quickly recap over all the four types of jahiliyyah practices, the very first one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is dhann al-jahiliyyah, those who lose their trust, they lose their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when times become difficult in their life. The second one is afa hukm al-jahiliyyah yabghun. The idea is that we always go back to the Qur'an. We cannot cherry pick in the Qur'an. We cannot choose what we want to apply and what we don't want to apply in the Qur'an. The Qur'an is something that we all have to apply from A to Z. The third one is the jahiliyyah al-ula, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the importance of applying modesty, especially in the way we dress for both brothers and sisters. And number four is rejection of tribalism, rejection of arrogance and pride, and unnecessary creating chaos when there's not a situation to be created. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And now for us, we ask ourselves, am I doing any of these kind of things? If I am doing any of these kind of things, if I am practicing any of these types of jahiliyyah practices and behaviors of the past, this is where I need to change myself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us tawfiq. Ameen rabbil alameen. Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansurna ala man aadana. ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب. آمين رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقيم الصلاة. Straight lines, fill in the gaps. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure you come inside. There's ample space inside the main hall. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure the rows are straight and complete. Brothers in the lobby area, please make sure the rows are straight. Sisters, please make sure the rows are straight and complete. If there's any sisters inside the multipurpose hall, please come inside the main hall. There's usually a lot of space inside in the side two rooms, so please make sure you fill up those spaces. Brothers in the multipurpose hall, please make sure the row is complete. Often there are 3, 4, 5 rows at times and they're all incomplete. So please make sure the rows are complete.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل straight lines from the gaps. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك ربنا ونعنا يدي أجاليك اللهم انا ذكرك وشكرك وسلم. اللهم انا